The Downfall of Marriage. The Great Transformation Within. By L. Spieskov, 2016. Introduction. This book is about relationships and marriage. It is especially about why so many people today have trouble making their relationships work. But it is not a book that proposes therapeutic solutions to the problems or comes with advice on how to live together in happiness and bliss. This book reveals the deeper cause of today's marital misery and presents a logical explanation as to why our relationships are failing. This is a very new and largely unknown way of looking at the problems of relationships. But if we are to find the actual reason why our marital capability is ailing, it is no good that we continue to look at things through the same old lenses as before. Sometimes we need to look at things from a new angle, and the angle presented here is both controversial and novel. It does away with the usual bids for an explanation. It undoubtedly requires open-mindedness from the reader, but if you have it, this book can be a great help in understanding the root cause of the problem. The fact is that the more we evolve, the more unfit we become as spouses. This is pretty obvious, as we can read in any marriage statistics that divorce rates continue to rise year after year. Marriage is no longer the safe harbor of happiness that it was in the past. And we are not the same marriage suitable individuals that we were before. We have changed so much mentally, emotionally and intellectually that marriage today is a garment that we are in the process of outgrowing. It no longer fits us, because it has become too small to accommodate the modern, free, intellectual human being. However, to understand this approach we must throw some traditional perceptions overboard, including the never-proved claim that we only live once. The approach to the problem that will be presented here cannot be understood within the narrow limits of the one life theory. But as the one life theory has never been proven, it may well be that what will be presented here could just as well reflect the truth as any other approach. As the upcoming bid for an explanation is logical, intellectually stimulating and innovative, it may well become the very model that can explain the root cause of the problem for future generations. Warning. This book should not be read by people in love, newlyweds or happily married couples. It has not been written for them. This book has been written for those who are unhappy in their relationships, the divorced, the involuntary singles, those who have several broken relationships behind them, and for those who cannot figure out how to live together as a couple. It has especially been written for the homosexuals who will find a logical explanation to their sexual structure and special preferences in this book, an enlightening explanation that they will not find anywhere else. All open-minded people are invited to read this book, especially those who have realized that we still do not know the whole truth about life, death and our own evolution. 1. The divorce culture of today. There is no doubt that our relationships are going through a deep crisis, and that we live at a time when there is a tendency of dissolution in the way we live together. Once marriage was the safe harbor that we all headed towards, but today there are very few who manage to be married to the same person all through life. It is as if the glue that once held a man and a woman together in marriage has become of an inferior quality, so that the attachment does not last as long as before. We see that more and more marriages are dissolved by divorce, and also those who just live together are subject to the same tendency, they split up. We are simply no longer very good at relationships. This book is about why this is so. The traditional family structure is in dissolution. An increasing number of people have no interest in living in relationships, so there are more and more singles. More and more children are growing up in one-parent families or as shared children, where they in turn stay with one or the other parent. Many people get divorced and remarry up to 4 and 5 times, many have children with several different partners, and marital infidelity is becoming more and more frequent. It is also becoming more and more common to be gay, and there is a growing understanding and tolerance for gays and lesbians. It is clear that something is afoot, and that our way of living together is about to change. We fall in love and think that now we have found the one and only. For a period of time we live in blissful happiness and firmly believe that this honeymoon can last a lifetime. We may witness that the relationships of others break up, but we do not think that it will happen to us. We see our partner through a lens of pink transfiguration, and we often attribute some lofty traits to him or her, for which there are in reality no actual evidence. At first we may not always notice that there could be some less flattering sides to the beloved. But what usually happens is that, as soon as the honeymoon is over, the problems begin to emerge, and the expected marital happiness fails to appear. Before long the bonds of marriage feel too narrow, there are too many expectations that cannot be met, such as, many feel that there are too many restrictions on their freedom of movement, both parties have other interests, which they do not share with their spouse, parenting takes its toll and prevents one from doing what one likes, you blame your spouse for the lack of freedom for self-realization, sexual desire plummets, love shrinks, you try to be romantic, but now it seems that you have nothing to talk about other than blaming each other for the lack of happiness, you argue about the smallest, stupidest little things, you become irritable and angry with each other, the narrow limits of the joint finances put a strain on your personal freedom, you are constantly tired from being both a career person and a family person, love is stifled by dirty socks and laundry to be hung up, taken down and folded, shopping and cooking become annoying tasks that you try to push onto each other, you never have time to enjoy your own interests, and you are constantly confronted with the demands to be there for each other and hold hands, mutual respect and tolerance dwindle, and sooner or later the balloon bursts. Thus, the previously happily married spouses now have different addresses. Today it is a rare sight to see couples with teenage children who still live together. The vast majority of children today grow up with parents who are divorced, and many have new step-parents that they have to deal with. Simultaneous to the relationship problems, we see how women in the last decades have been in the process of overtaking their men when it comes to education and careers. Today, there is an increasing number of women in traditional male jobs at universities such as doctors, scientists, lawyers, dentists, pharmacists, scientists, university professors and so on. In the business world, the so-called estrogen tornadoes are rushing forward, and today the women in Scandinavia make more money than the men in every three couples. Evidence suggests that the women's intellectual abilities have grown dramatically over the last 50 years, so that today they are able to do the jobs that used to be reserved for men. We live in a society undergoing a rapid change due to our growing problems with being married or living together. We are simply witnessing a dissolution tendency in our traditional ways of living together, and the question is of course, what is going on? What is the reason? Why are we no longer as good at being married to each other as our parents were? Many people are confused about the problems in their relationships to such a high degree, that a plausible bid for an explanation to this dissolution tendency in our traditional marital structure is urgently needed. The general answer is that it is the development of society in the wake of the women's liberation movement of the 70s, which is the reason. Female emancipation set a new agenda, and today we see the result of women's liberation. They can no longer be bothered to be tied to the same cold fish for a whole lifetime, and they pull at their tether until it breaks. They want their freedom to have sex with whomever they fancy and live life without marital ties. They have become more self-aware and independent, so they take longer and harder educations, so that they are not dependent on being provided for by a man. That is true, but is it the whole explanation? Are we not missing a deeper explanation that can account for the forces that started the entire women's liberation? What lies behind the fact that women of today are becoming more and more intellectual and self-reliant? Are we still not missing a real explanation as to why today's marriages do not last? Could it be that it not only has to do with a development in society, but rather a development and a transformation of a much more fundamental kind? Could it be that our changing forms of cohabitation are in fact based on a much deeper organic, psychological transformation of us as human beings? Not many people have offered to come up with an explanation to that question. But one has, and that is the great Danish visionary and intuitive Martinus Thomsen. Martinus offers a detailed explanation and analysis of the inner transformation that we human beings are subjected to in the course of our evolution, the transformation of our sexual poles. Martinus throws a brilliant light on the inner sexual, organic transformation that is happening with men and women of today. It is through Martinus' illuminating analysis of the transformation of our sexual poles that we find the real reasons for the dissolution of our family structure that we are witnessing today. As Martinus is the only one to offer an explanation to the deeper cause of the large-scale tendency of dissolution that is affecting people today, it seems like a good idea to look at what he says. The intention of this book is to provide an easy introduction to Martinus' unique analysis of the internal forces behind today's marital incapacity, the transformation of man's sexual poles. But first let us just briefly look at who Martinus was, and why his bid for an explanation can be of value to us today. 2. Why Martinus? Martinus is a Danish writer with a very extensive production behind him. His collected works include some 9,000 pages, and it is a philosophical, intuitive work pervaded by logic, intelligence and love. There is no doubt that we are talking about a work that will be groundbreaking and seminal as the knowledge of it becomes more widespread. It is a unique work. Probably some readers are now asking why we should study what Martinus says. Who is he and why is it important to know what he says? Let us first of all establish that Martinus' existence is Denmark's best kept secret. His unique work is still unknown to most Danes, so if you have not heard of him, you are not alone. As there are very few people who have heard about Martinus and his life's work, I would like to just briefly outline who he was. Who is Martinus? Martinus was born in Sindal in the north of Jutland in August 1890. His mother was unmarried and the boy, born to a single parent, was baptized Martinus Thomsen. He grew up at the small holding of Moskildvad, 1, with his uncle and aunt, as his mother could not have him living with her. He grew up in very modest circumstances and spent much of his childhood herding cows and helping out at surrounding farms. He had a very modest schooling, and since the family could not afford to let him study, he was apprenticed as a dairyman at an early age. But Martinus was no ordinary peasant boy. Very early it became obvious that Martinus was a boy with highly unusual abilities. He had very strong mental faculties, so that from a young age he was certain that there was a loving logic behind the world's apparent randomness and chaos. He had an inner spiritual contact with the universal source or God that made the forces of his soul irradiate to all those he met. He was so convinced of the truth of his own source that he, already during his preparation for confirmation, could declare that the priest was wrong when he, in line with contemporary religious dogma, claimed that children, who were born out of wedlock, were condemned to eternal flames in hell. Martinus knew intuitively that that was not how things were. He was consequently no supporter of contemporary religion, indeed. He was not religious in any traditional sense, although he had a strong relationship with God right from the start. It can be said that Martinus already as a young man was living proof that it is possible to have a close relationship with God without being tied to any religion. He had his own inner source, which was cleaner and stronger than the dogmatic religions of the time. What became decisive for Martinus' extensive writings, was a powerful spiritual experience he had when he was 30 years old. At that time he lived in a rented room at Jagtvej, right next to Norrebro's Rundel in Copenhagen. Today there is a greengrocer on the ground floor, and thousands of people pass past the house every day without knowing that in 1921 an extraordinary event took place there. We are only now beginning to sense the first faint outlines of the consequences of this event. What happened was that Martinus sat down and began to meditate on the concept of God. He subsequently experienced a strong spiritual illumination that meant that he, after the event, had been given new faculties. This may sound strange, but it is a fact that Martinus, after his revelation, was able to see behind the outer physical world and into the spiritual plane lying beyond all physical manifestation. Martinus had achieved what was later called cosmic consciousness, too. Thus he was able to answer and explain all questions of a spiritual, philosophical and metaphysical nature. Martinus has written extensively about his spiritual experience in his book About the Birth of My Mission. The work. Martinus' spiritual experience was the beginning of his extensive writings, which at his death in 1981 included no less than some 9,000 pages and 100 symbols. His main work, Livetsbog, The Book of Life, has 7 volumes and approximately 3,000 pages. The bibliography at the back of the book mentions all Martinus books, articles and symbols. Now some readers will probably ask what we need Martinus' work for. What sets it apart from other works? This question can be answered briefly. It is a unique work, which in a logical and precise way provides answers to life's big questions. Martinus presents logical answers to questions such as, where are we coming from and where are we going? What is the meaning of life? How do we create happiness? Do we only live this one life, or is the life after death? How can we shape our destiny? Is there a master plan? Is there a creator? And much, much more. Now, some people will probably doubt that Martinus can really have truthful answers to life's big questions. But those doubts are put to shame when you read his work. Once you have read his work from one end to the other, there is no longer any doubt that here we have a unique, concrete, convincing and complete answer to the question, what is the truth about life? With a compelling logic and subtlety, Martinus reveals the structure of the universe in such a way that you, when you have read the whole work, feel totally convinced that this is how things are. From every page, the truth vibrates in such a convincing form, that it cannot be dismissed neither intellectually, emotionally nor logically. I have yet to meet a person who has read Martinus' work, who is not totally convinced of its true value. And what is it that Martinus reveal? It is obviously difficult to boil the contents of so many pages of text down to a brief introduction, but let me mention, that Martinus, among other things, describes the structure of life, the identity of the universe with a conscious, living cosmos, the existence of a metaphysical, spiritual plane of existence, the development of the living beings through the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the unfinished human kingdom and up to the real human kingdom, the immortality of all living beings, the necessity of reincarnation, the existence of a law for the creation of fate, the law of karma, the law of attraction and repulsion as one of the universe's most important natural laws, the inevitable existence of an intelligent creator who with logic, planning and love has created the universe as a place where both light and darkness can be experienced by the eternal beings. And then, of course, an analysis of the transformation of the sexual poles, which is the real reason for the marital misery and the subject of this book. One can say that Martinus' work constitutes the most complete spiritual guidance that has been presented to mankind to date. It may sound like some kind of fantasy, but there is no way that you can explain the content of Martinus' work without using big words. It is so fantastic, so momentous, so unique and so compelling that it is surprising that it is not better known in the world today. But the reason why Martinus' work is relatively unknown is probably that it is so much on the leading edge of a new world picture that it requires open-mindedness, forwardness and openness to understand it. The person who still has his feet firmly rooted in the belief-born religions will not find any inspiration in Martinus' work. But he is not supposed to, because Martinus' work has been written for the non-religious, but curious person who has thrown the traditional, dogmatic religions overboard and thus is godless for a period of time. The work is aimed at the intellectual person whose intellect collides with the traditional religions and therefore has become an atheist for a time and can see no reason to accept the traditional religious concept of God. Martinus' work is spiritual nourishment for the scientifically minded but non-religious person who, despite his atheistic attitude, intuitively senses that there must be a meaning with life somewhere. Martinus himself says that through one's many incarnations, one will be matured to understand his work, and for that reason, he was in no way trying to capture new proselytes or followers. He plainly stated that those who find joy and inspiration in the traditional religions, should do so as long as they can. Only those, whom life itself has matured, will take an interest in studying his work. The followers will come little by little as they like ripe fruit fall from the tree. Martinus' work is not an object of faith. He does not ask his readers to believe in what he reveals. He asks them only to study the work and compare it with what one can observe in the world. Only then will the work be useful to the reader. Taken as a whole, Martinus' work is so innovative that it forms a completely new world picture. And it is a world picture so logical that its value is very difficult to reject. All details fit. Everything is logic, common sense, reason and love. A more loving and more intelligent world picture does not exist. There is hardly any doubt that in the future the work will be of great importance as a spiritual guide for humanity. But today we are only just beginning to open the flap of this gigantic work, so its importance is still unknown to the majority of people. It is so huge, so overwhelming and so groundbreaking that it opens new areas in the reader's brain. Nobody can read Martinus without having his thought sphere expanded and his way of viewing the world renewed. Once you have understood the scope of the work, you can simply no longer look at the world in the same old way as before. Here we have spiritual nourishment for modern, intellectual man. Here we have spiritual guidance for the time we are living in now. Not for the past as the religions have dictated, but for the present time. And how, then, is the world picture that Martinus reveals? It is a world picture where everything is very good, and where everything is just as it should be, in spite of sad fates, unhappy lives, war, terrorism, violence, climate change, earthquakes, floods, tsunamis and so on. But how can it be good, you are obviously asking yourself. It can, because life must be seen in a much larger perspective than the one life perspective that is prevalent today. In order for life to be meaningful, it must be seen in a perspective that includes an infinite number of lives or incarnations. Today it is widely believed that we only live one life, and that death is life's ultimate end. But that is absolutely not so. There is nothing definitive about death. And even though death's identity as life's ultimate ending has been elevated to some kind of scientific fact, it is a claim that can in no way be proven. Nobody has ever been able to prove that consciousness is extinguished when the body dies. That the death of the body should be identical to the extinction of consciousness is a claim without evidence and is thus an object of faith. Today there are many who believe that it is so, but they must then be counted as belonging to the ranks of the believers. You are a believer when you believe in something that cannot be proved. Today there is extensive evidence confirming that consciousness survives the death of the physical body, and you can read about in my book The Undiscovered Country or on my website, www.newspiritualscience.com. We are eternal beings, and we have an infinite number of past lives behind us and an equally infinite number of lives ahead of us. We normally cannot remember our past lives, but these lives are with us today by virtue of the person we are. Through our multifaceted fates in past lives, we have been shaped into the person we are today. We can learn a lot about what we have experienced before, by looking at who we are, how moral we are, how loving we are, how wise are we, how clever we are, what will we agree to do, what are we willing to do to others, and what are we good at. Everything we are today is the result of experiences we have lived through in earlier incarnations. Our talents are a direct indicator of what we have occupied ourselves with before. Everything that we are good at clearly shows what we have practiced in previous lives, because our talents are transmitted via our superconsciousness from one life to the next. Everything that we are good at today, we have practiced and trained in past lives, so that what we are good at or have talents for, we will also be good at in our next life. For every life we live, we develop and refine our morals, our intelligence and abilities. In our next life, We will be a better, more loving and wiser version of ourselves. Development is moving forwards, not backwards. What today looks like a world in decay with unhappy fates, wars and terrorism, is only a snapshot of an unfinished world that have not yet reached the final, mature stage. The world of today is like an immature apple, but just as it is certain that the apple will be mature one day, it is certain that the earth with its humanity will also one day reach the final, mature stage. When that happens, a kingdom of peace will arise, where everyone lives in harmony with each other and all serve all. It is necessary that we see the world and our own destinies in a much larger perspective, in order to see the logic, the beauty and the love of the universe. But it is also necessary to come to a greater understanding of the master plan, so that we can realize that the world is not broken, but that everything is just as it should be, considering the level of development of the earth and ourselves. And it is mainly when we are able to see the bigger picture that we can help promote development. It is beyond the scope of this book to provide a comprehensive presentation of Martinus' world picture, but in the note the reader is referred to other books that do so. 3. What use can we make of the analysis of the transformation of the poles? In this book, we are going to look at an aspect of Martinus' work, which is urgently needed today, because it can help us get a broader understanding of the tendency, which is greatly influencing our lives and our societies, our rapidly growing marital inability and our problems with living together in peace and harmony within marriage or relationships. We must, in other words, take a look at the great transformation that all humans today are subject to, the transformation of our sexual poles. With an insight into the transformation of the sexual poles, we will understand that we are not abnormal. If we have problems with our relationships, we will be able to understand why our marriages fall apart, and why we cannot make them work in the long run. Thus, we can hopefully stop blaming ourselves for the lack of marital harmony and not fall into despair, misery and ennui when our fourth or fifth relationship break up. Perhaps we can find comfort in this book, when our partner has been unfaithful to us, or we have behaved immorally and ignored the marital obligations or interests of the children. This book should be seen as a helping hand to those who cannot understand why their married life doesn't function. The fact is that there is a good explanation, and it lies in the understanding of the transformation of our sexual poles, that we are all subject to. The analysis of the transformation of our sexual poles shows that we are all subject to an inner, organic transformation that means that we move away from the prerequisite that was the basis on which we could live in marital happiness. As we develop from life to life, we become more and more independent and thus more and more unsuitable as relationship creatures. The more whole we become as humans, the harder it will be for us to live as a couple. With Martinus' words, we evolve from the one-poled, animal state toward the more humane, double-poled state. And with this transformation we become less and less able to live in a traditional marriage, whose raison d'etre is founded in traditions that are hundreds of years old, and therefore in many cases are out of step with modern humans. The more we evolve, the harder it is for us to be tied in marriage and relationships. We become more and more free, independent and sovereign beings. This book is about the great and exciting transformation of our inner organic structure. The uniqueness of Martinus' work. Martinus' work is totally unique. There is nothing similar to be found anywhere else. Martinus explains and elaborates on various aspects that traditionally have been mentioned in the known religions. For example, life after death, reincarnation, karma and the existence of a creator. But, unlike the approach of the religions, these aspects are not presented as objects of faith by Martinus. With Martinus, everything is explained with a sharp logic that appeals to our intelligence. Here, there is nothing that we are asked to believe in. Here, there is something that we should study and then determine its value by looking at the world. In addition to the aspects mentioned above in much more, the work of Martinus stands out from all other spiritual guidance by explaining the following two aspects: the transformation of our sexual poles and the mission of darkness. You cannot read about these aspects anywhere else than in Martinus' work. And it is these two aspects that we shall look upon in this book.